Chapter 12.
The stone wall that once surrounded the small city was crumbling, and the wrought iron gates dangled from their hinges like broken teeth. The clouds sat low in the dark sky, and they were an odd purplish-gray color, as though a storm was about to break. Several stacks of smoke curled into the air from around Imunving, and the stench of death hung like the storm clouds over the city. I walked slowly through the creaking gates to see the damage. Bodies of several kinds of demihumans were strewn about the road and sidewalks, and their veins were pressed to the surface of their skin and dyed black. It looked like black spiderwebs had been etched into their corpses, and my skin prickled at the sight. My group followed me as I wound through the path of death and stepped around the bodies. Most had been poisoned with miasma, but a few of the bodies didn't show any signs of it. One bare demihuman bore cuts across her arms and a blade wound to her chest, while a moose demihuman's body was covered with bruises and whip marks.
"What the fuck happened here?" I muttered.
"They didn't all die of miasma."
"Definitely not," Nike agreed, as he nudged a body with his toe.
"This one's head is nearly severed."
"How does this happen?"
Rebecca asked softly. I turned to see tears welling up in her eyes, and I took her hand in mine.
"The people who did this will pay."
"Do you know who it is?"
She frowned and swiped at her tears.
"We have a pretty good idea," I replied with a scowl. "And it's someone I've been wanting to kill for a while now."
"Why? Has he killed before?"
My mind flashed with the images of the children sacrificed in a cave outside Hatra. Then Valera's teary-eyed recollection of her family's deaths, and the terror on the face of the centaur prince while he was tied up outside another rift to be sacrificed. A burning hatred filled my chest as the final image passed through my mind's eye of Olivier waltzing into my city and claiming to be a friend.
"Yeah, he's killed before," I muttered darkly. "He's a monster."
"I can't imagine him as being anything else."
Rebecca sighed and looked around us.
"This is awful."
Suddenly, Laika and Aaliyah's ears perked up, and they both shushed the group as we all turned to listen.
"Help me!"
A voice nearly whispered from somewhere ahead of us, deeper into the city.
"Let's go," I decided, and stormed closer to the voice.
"Lord Evan, wait."
Laika put a hand on my shoulder to slow me down.
"It could easily be a trap."
"Shit. What if it's not? We can't just let someone die."
"I agree,"
the wolf warrior said with a nod.
"But we must tread carefully."
"Keep your eyes peeled," I warned everyone. "We can't help anyone else if we're not paying attention." My companions nodded in agreement, and we crept forward to find the source of the voice. We stepped over more bodies in the street, and I noticed pools and streams of blood in the crevices between the cobblestones. The level of destruction here was beyond words, yet it reminded me of my recurring nightmare. I thought it was about using my earthquake magic against the peninsula, but maybe it was about this event. We came upon a pile of bodies, some lynx demihumans, some bears. The corpses had been tossed carelessly into a heap on the side of the road, and I heard Ravi take a shuddering breath.
"They just threw them over here like garbage,"
the phoenix whispered.
"Like they didn't even matter."
"Please!"
The voice wailed again, but it was much closer. So we searched the area, poked our heads into buildings, and peeked behind carts and wagons, but we didn't see anyone. Then I stared at the pile of bodies, and I looked up and met Nike's eye.
"You don't think..." I hesitated.
"It's possible," he murmured.
I sighed, and we stalked closer to the pile and listened. The light sound of shallow breathing hissed from below us. We shared another look, and my women gasped as we began to lift bodies slowly and carefully from the stack and lay them to the side.
"What are you doing?"
Mariah gasped.
"We think there's someone alive in here," I grunted as we laid another body out on the ground.
"Oh, gods."
Marina moaned and covered her mouth.
"I can't look."
Trina put her hands over her eyes and curled into Polina, who wrapped her arms around her sister and pressed her mouth into a thin line. We finally reached the last four bodies, and when we lifted a slaughtered bighorn from the pile, the demihuman underneath inhaled a deep, raspy breath.
"You found me! Thank the gods you found me!"
"It's okay," I murmured as I pulled her to her feet.
We've got you now. As I helped her up, words flashed across my vision. Classification, squirrel demihuman. Condition, concussion, minor bruising. Priority, non-life-threatening. Status, requires healing for concussion. A fucking squirrel demihuman? This place was so weird. I sent a wave of healing magic to settle over her tiny body. The woman was incredibly small, maybe 4.5 feet tall, and her perfectly round brown eyes shimmered with tears. She brushed the dirt from her clothes before she seemed to realize most of it was blood, and she shivered and wrapped her tiny arms around her torso. Then I noticed the big bushy tail behind her that was nearly as long as she was.
Here,
Aliona said gently, as she wrapped a blanket from her spatial storage around the girl.
Let's get you warmed up. Then I'll help clean you up, okay?
Who are you?
The girl breathed and looked up at Aliona with curious eyes.
You must be the priestess.
The priestess?
Aliona stepped back in surprise.
What makes you say that?
The men who attacked us. They kept saying, the priestess will come, so you must be her.
Aliona, stay close. I scanned the area for the men the squirrel spoke of. I don't like this.
Me either.
Laika growled and stood closer to the princess protectively.
We need to find these bastards now.
Yeah, I agreed as my hands clenched into fists. And finish them.
We won't be able to walk the city safely until it's purified. There could be more pockets of miasma, and we'll have to stop and treat ourselves before we can move forward.
What do you need for that? I asked.
Sage, amethyst stones, and salt.
She murmured and began to pluck the items from her spatial storage.
And plenty of power.
I'll help you,
Ravi volunteered, and the phoenix's azure eyes burned with determination.
Your pure magic will be of great value,
Aliona agreed.
Me too,
Naomi offered as she stepped forward.
I know mine isn't pure, but you can channel me. And mine,
Mariah chimed in.
My power will add some healing.
Yes, that will certainly help,
the princess muttered as she poured her ingredients into a bowl and pressed them together with a pestle.
We need all the help we can get right now.
How about this thing?
Rebecca asked, and held up Meshesnada's wand.
I took it from the courtyard when he was still alive, so he couldn't use it against us.
Brilliant.
Aliona gushed with a radiant smile.
Great job, Rebecca.
Thank you.
The bear demihuman flushed a beautiful dark pink at the compliment and handed over the wand. Aliona mixed the ingredients together and shoved the wand into the mixture with the handle down. Then she set the bowl on the ground and reached for Naomi, Mariah, and Ravi's hands.
Now, I'll say the spell and channel your powers. Lord Evan, please light the wand on fire at the tip.
Just the tip? I chuckled and then cleared my throat. Yeah, I got it. I flicked a tiny fireball at the wand, and the wood immediately caught fire.
Evil has come. Evil must leave. The tangled web we now unweave. From goodness comes the brightest light. Cleanse this city till all is right.
With her final word, a halo of white magic erupted out from the tip of the wand and soared over Amunving. The ivory power was nearly blinding, and I had to shield my eyes from the glow as it throbbed in waves of energy that washed over the city. When the glow finally faded, I opened my eyes to see the sky had cleared of smoke, and the clouds returned to their normal shade of white. The stench of miasma drifted away with the ocean breeze, and I felt like a guy in a cartoon waiting for the birds to start singing again.
Wow!
The squirrel girl breathed, and her dark eyes were wide and huge in her petite face.
It's all gone.
For now,
Aliona murmured with a frown.
We still have much work to do here.
First, though, what's your name? I asked the small demihuman. And where are your parents?
My parents?
She giggled, and it sounded just like the titters of the squirrels I used to hear jumping from tree to tree when I was a kid.
I'm 86 years old. My parents passed on long ago. But my name's Krista.
86? I repeated with round eyes. But you're,
small?
The squirrel giggled again.
I'm average for a squirrel demi-human, but I look tiny to most other creatures, especially the bears.
The demi-human's face suddenly contorted into a frown, as though she was remembering something she'd rather not.
Did they enslave you too?
Aliona asked gently.
Yes.
Krista confirmed as she blinked with surprise.
How did you know?
We've been working on that issue, I growled. I only wish we'd been able to get here and free everyone before this happened. How long ago did the men come? The squirrel looked up and chewed on her bottom lip.
It's hard to say. The sky darkened within minutes of their arrival, and it hasn't lightened until now. Maybe a day?
That fits with how long it would have taken Meshesnada to get to Athasan this morning, Nike confirmed. It probably happened shortly after he left.
Yeah, I agreed. Now we need to check out the campsite. I have a feeling we already know who we're going to find there.
If they're still there,
Lyca chimed in. They seem to think their attack would draw Aliona in, I mused. Maybe they're waiting for us there.
Perhaps I should take the princess back to Athasan to be safe,
the wolf demihuman suggested, and her gray ears had flattened against her head with worry.
I will not sit in a tower like a damsel in distress,
Aliona argued and crossed her arms over her chest.
I'll face these cowards with my head held high.
I'd rather keep you close to us anyway, I conceded. Just stay close. We're going to have to get through the rest of this city to find the camp.
It should be a little easier with the purification done. We don't have to worry about miasma poisoning. Only people.
Yeah, well, these people suck, I muttered. Let's go. We trudged on through Amunving. The purification had certainly helped with the miasma smell, but it did nothing for the stench of actual death. The number of bodies lying in the road was sickening, and it was all I could do to stare straight ahead as we walked. As we passed the castle, I realized it had been set on fire. The flames had died down by now, but the building would soon fall apart. The wooden boards were scorched and creaking, while the roof was already leaning to one side. The tall doors featured the same bear as the ones in Athasan, but giant X's were carved over the design.
Someone didn't like the bears,
Polina murmured.
That could have been anyone here,
Rebecca replied with a frown.
Only a few of our kind were against the slavery, and here, Meshesnada allowed his grizzlies to enslave any other creatures, like Krista.
It's true,
the squirrel piped up.
My species was a popular slave because we're quick. I could run from one end of the city to the other with supplies in only a few minutes for my master.
Master, I spat out. I never want to hear that word again.
I'm sorry.
Krista fumbled for a response. No, I'm not angry with you, I said gently. I'm angry this inhumane treatment happened, and it took me this long to find out and fix it. I'll never let this happen again.
How are you going to stop it?
The demi-human's round eyes widened even further, and I wondered if they'd pop out of her tiny head.
With the priestess?
She'll certainly be part of it, I chuckled. By the time she and I become the queen and king of Rama, we'll have gained the loyalty of every large city in the country. We've been traveling on our campaign for months already.
Wait.
Krista stopped and stared at me.
Are you the dragon?
I am. You've heard of me.
They talked about you during the attack,
she murmured as she wrung her hands. What did they say? I prodded.
Something about you stealing the triad, and they want it back.
Ah, so it was the sect who wanted the artifacts. I knew it.
They said you're always in their way. I can see why.
It's kind of my thing. My name is Lord Evan, by the way. The rest of my group introduced themselves as we continued past the ruined castle and into the outskirts of the city.
It's nice to meet you all,
Krista said with a smile. We passed through the last of the destroyed buildings and found a section of the stone wall that had been knocked down to the ground. It looked like a blast had torn the stones from the foundation and blown them into the city, and I frowned at the sight. This must be where they got in, I murmured, as I examined the damage. So the camp has to be over here somewhere.
There's something over that way.
Aliona pointed outside the wall to the right, near the beach. I glanced out past the wall, and I could clearly see the end of the peninsula where the ocean expanded out beyond the horizon. But I didn't see what the princess pointed to. Let's go see, I decided, and stepped over the rubble from the wall. I led my group outside the city in the direction Aliona had indicated, and Naomi inhaled a sharp breath.
Mirage magic!
The lizard mage whispered, and her tongue flickered in and out of her mouth nervously.
There's something hidden here.
So I drew the sword of Hatra from my belt while Nike gripped the sword of light. We crept further from the wall, and I held my sword out in front of me. Then I noticed the tip of the blade disappear, and the view of the ocean seemed to shimmer. Found it, I muttered, and Nike nodded before we both charged through the mirage and nearly tumbled over a smoking campsite. Three tents stood near the recently extinguished fire, but there was no sign of anyone inside. So we yanked the canvas from the tent poles and we found there were blankets on the ground. Clearly a few people had been staying here, but they were already gone, though the stench of miasma lingered in the air.
I don't think they've gone far, my lord,
Lyca observed as she grazed the dirt of the campfire with her clawed fingers.
The ground here is still warm. Wait!
Aliona called out from the other end of the camp.
I found the rift!
We rushed over to the princess, who stood next to a long, jagged crack in the ground. The deep purple line stunk of miasma, and I was overwhelmed with the need to examine it closer. A light gray fog seeped out from the rift, and I wondered if I should touch it.
My lord?
Ravi grabbed my hand, and I looked down to see I'd taken several steps toward the rift. Oh, I murmured, and shook my head as I stepped backward. Cairo had told us the rift drew people in, and I'd nearly been its first victim today.
We need to seal this,
Naomi said and clenched her fists at her sides.
How do we do that?
I know a few seals that should work,
Aliona replied, but her eyes were still locked on the violet rift.
I'll teach you.
Okay, let's do it.
The two women joined hands and began the spell that would seal the rift and keep the demons out of our world. As they said the spell together, a wide ring of silver smoke appeared above the rift. It spun slowly before it sped up until it moved so fast I could feel a gust of wind blowing down on us. Then the ring suddenly stopped and slammed to the ground with an earth-shaking thud that sent us stumbling into each other.
That ought to do it.
Aliona brushed off her hands.
I only wish we'd known about this rift earlier. We could have prevented all of that.
The princess looked past us with a forlorn expression as she stared at the ruined city of Amunving. Hey, I said gently and took her face into my hands. Don't give up on the city. Everyone thought Hatra was gone forever, too. We just have to do some work.
But those people... So many innocent lives were lost.
And it's a tragedy, I agreed and kissed her head. One the Green Glass Sect will pay for. But for now, we need to see if anyone else survived and get them to safety.
Okay.
The princess nodded and looped her arm through mine.
We should stay together, though.
I agree, I said with a frown. Between the sect waiting for you and Mariah's council creeps, I don't want anyone to be alone right now.
So, we'll search the city together, Nike agreed. It isn't a large place, so it shouldn't be difficult.
And I can help you find your way,
Krista offered.
My old employer had business with nearly everyone in town, so I know where they lived.
Great. Lead the way. We followed Krista back through the demolished wall and into Amunving, but as soon as we set foot inside the city, the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end.
What is it?
Nike murmured and put his hand on his sword.
I'm not sure, I replied under my breath.
Look out!
Lyca yelled. I turned to see the zombie-like approach of dozens of corrupted corpses as moose, bears, lynxes, and bighorn demi-humans walked down the road from behind the castle. The stench of miasma reeked from their crumbling bodies, and they stumbled toward us with their mouths open and eyes blank. Their rotting flesh hung from their limbs as they ambled closer while Krista stared in disbelief. I grabbed the squirrel demi-human and yanked her back behind me while I pulled the sword of healing from my belt. Unfortunately, we couldn't heal these people anymore, but we had to put them down. The miasma had already corrupted their bodies to the point of death, and it was a disease I already knew we couldn't repair.
That's Araya, my friend!
Krista yelped and pointed at one of the corpses.
What can we do?
I'm sorry, Krista,
Aliona said and gripped her shoulder.
Your friend has passed on. The miasma is simply reanimating her body, and we must destroy these creatures.
Oh, gods!
The squirrel wailed and covered her eyes. Stay back, I ordered her. We'll handle them. Lyca drew her broadsword from the sheath across her back, and Ravi conjured a fiery sword and gripped it until her knuckles turned white. The dryad's green eyes were focused on the corpses, and Aaliyah stretched her claws to their fighting length.
My lord... I'll go to your spiritual sea,
Mariah said,
to strengthen your blade against the corrupted.
Sounds good, I nodded, and Mariah was gone in a brilliant flash of light. I immediately felt her presence in my spiritual sea, and the sword of Hatra kind of seemed heavier with the weight of her power behind it.
Then we stalked toward the attacking corpses, and it was on. I swung my sword through the first row of reanimated bodies, and the blade crunched through their brittle bones like they were made of glass. Shards of bone and chunks of decayed skin flew across my vision, but the waves of corpses continued toward us. Well, I soon realized they weren't really paying attention to anyone but Aliona. The corrupted corpses were focused completely on her, and I remembered the hive mind I'd noticed in other creatures that had been poisoned by the miasma. From the other corrupted corpses to the reanimated animals to the echidnas, the beasts all had one singular goal in mind. Even one of Hatra's citizens and one of Tikal's guards had been corrupted and attacked Aliona, but once I'd healed them, they were back to normal. They remembered attacking her, but they were listening to some kind of mental command that told them to do it. It seemed the miasma controlled whoever it corrupted, and right now, they were going after the princess. I was sure it had something to do with the Oracle's prediction that Aliona would be the undoing of the breach, and we needed to make sure she could do that. Not to mention the hell I'd unleash if anyone laid a finger on my princess. "Protect Aliona!" I bellowed as I took another swipe at the corpses. "She's their target!" I gripped my sword with two hands and swung it like a baseball bat, and corrupted heads rolled away from their bodies that crumbled over each other at my feet. I glanced over to see Ravi swing her fire sword at an incoming corpse, and the flames caught the shredded rags of skin on fire. The corrupted corpse didn't even flinch as the flames licked up its arms, and the phoenix jumped back as the corpse finally fell to the ground when the fire burned through its skull. The smell of rotting flesh mingled with burning flesh, and I felt my stomach turn as the stench wafted into my nose. Suddenly, a smattering of tree roots burst forth from the ground and shot through a few of the corpses. Their bones cracked and scattered like confetti, and I looked to my right to see the dryads with their hands planted into the soil to access their nature magic. They had much better luck using their power here with the various plants growing around us than they had in the dry desert. So they took advantage of the numerous plants growing in the fertile soil, and more stalks blasted out of the dirt to attack the corrupted corpses. They could hold their own, so I turned back around, and Nike and I plowed through a dozen corpses with staggering blows that split them into pieces. It was like chopping through a forest as we swung back and forth to clear the creatures, but it seemed like more and more of them were popping up from out of nowhere. I started to wonder if the corpses we'd passed on the ground were being reanimated, which would be a big problem since there were literally hundreds of them.
"Stay back!"
I heard Rebecca shout from behind me. I whirled around to see the bear demihuman jump in front of Aliona and swipe her clawed hand across the face of a corrupted corpse. The reanimated beast flew across the grass and landed in a broken pile of bones and rotted flesh a few feet away from the women, and I heaved a sigh of relief that the lady bear was another warrior who could protect the princess.
"Thank you,"
Aliona breathed and gripped Rebecca's arm.
"Anything for you,"
the lady bear replied, and a rush of heat warmed my body as the two women exchanged a sweet look.
"Focus, Evan," I muttered to myself as I turned back toward my opponents. "There's fucking corrupted corpses coming at you. Picturing the two of them in your bed will have to wait."
Then I suddenly noticed a body that was different from the rest. A lynx demihuman sauntered at the rear of the pack, and his skin was still intact, though it was marred by the black webbing of miasma coursing through his veins. He stared straight ahead, but his golden eyes didn't seem to register anything. His mouth was hanging open, and a trail of drool dribbled down his lips into his blonde beard. I thought he was alive, but I had to be sure before I worked to save him. Classification: Lynx Demihuman. Condition: Miasma Poisoning. Priority: Requires Immediate Healing. Status: Death imminent if not healed.
"Hey!" I called out and shoved a corpse in Aaliyah's path, where the lioness clawed through the mangled body with ease. "That one is still alive!"
I cleaved my way through the last few corpses until I reached the lynx and grabbed his shoulders. He looked up with a blank stare that seemed to look right past me, and I shook him for a moment. His head bobbled back and forth before he extended his claws and took a lazy swipe at my arm. But I dropped my hand from his shoulder and grabbed his wrist. The demihuman's movements were slow and deliberate, and I easily twisted his arm around behind him and pinned him to the ground while the others finished off the handful of corpses that remained.
Then I dropped my knee into the gap between his shoulder blades and held his arm to his sides.
That's Pander!
Krista gasped from behind me.
He was one of the slaves for the baker!
We might be able to save him, I replied over my shoulder. I'm going to try to heal him.
I'll help you,
Mariah murmured from my spiritual sea, and I felt her power start to amplify mine. So I opened my mouth and released a cloud of my healing magic with a little kick of Mariah's power behind it. The glittery dust settled onto the lynx as he struggled underneath me, and his claws dug into the dirt as the healing power coursed through him. I could see the veins on his arm fade from black to gray, and then return to the normal pale pink lines under his skin. His labored breathing slowed, and he took a deep breath as he relaxed underneath me. Then he took another deep breath and exhaled with a sigh of relief. "Are you good now?" I asked him.
"If you're asking whether I'm still sick from that smoke, the answer is a resounding no," Pander muttered. "Now, could you be so kind as to release me?"
"Yup," I replied, and released his arm before I stood over him and offered a hand. The lynx demihuman rolled to his side and eyed my hand for a moment. Then he reached up and let me pull him to his feet, and he immediately began to lick his furry paws and clean the pointy ears atop his head.
"I suppose I owe you thanks," Pander murmured, once he was done cleaning himself.
"Lord Evan," I filled in. "And you're welcome. You were poisoned by miasma."
"Oh, I thought that might be the case, though I was under the impression it had been limited to the breach for several decades now," he mused. "I felt the most desperate urge to harm her."
Pander pointed at Aliona with a long, clawed finger. "Do you know why?" I demanded.
"No," the lynx shook his head. "I don't even know who she is. It was just this thought repeating in my mind. Kill the priestess."
"Exactly what I figured," I frowned. "Could you communicate with the corpses?"
"The dead ones here?" he asked as he looked around him. "I didn't speak to them, but it was more like we were all on the same sound wave, if that makes sense."
"Well, the corrupted corpses don't attack on their own," I murmured. "I don't think you're the only live one here."
"Plus, that campsite was freshly deserted,"
Lyca pointed out.
"I think we may need to speed up our searching process."
"Shit," I muttered, as a realization washed over me. "There's a mage around here somewhere. We can't let him get away."
"So, do we look for survivors or for attackers?"
Aliona wondered, and a look of frustration clouded over her ethereal features.
"I don't want to leave anyone behind, but I agree we must catch the culprit responsible for this horrible attack."
"Both," I decided after a moment. "I can use my echolocation to check for anyone moving, then we'll figure out which it is when we find them."
"Good idea, my lord,"
Trina said with a smile, and my other women nodded with encouragement. "Okay, lead the way," Nike agreed. So I stepped over the corrupted corpses littered across the ground and headed for the smattering of stores just inside the city wall. As we got closer to the buildings, I sent out a wave of echolocation that vibrated across the air. The sound wave returned to me within seconds, and I frowned at the image of even more bodies scattered inside the stores and along the road. There definitely weren't any survivors in the first few buildings.
"What is it?"
Rebecca asked. "Nothing we need to see right now. Keep moving."
"I understand,"
the lady bear murmured as she reached out and squeezed my hand. We hit the stores and houses in sections, and I activated my echolocation in each area. Thankfully, we found a handful of massacre survivors among the rubble, and we escorted them safely outside. I healed the wounded as we went, but we were starting to gather a crowd, and the last thing we needed was to have a bunch of civilians in a battle with a mage. At best, they would be in the way. At worst, the mage would take them as hostages. Either way, it was already clear by the bodies lying around Amunving that this mage didn't give two shits about their lives. "We need to find a safe haven for them," I told Nike. "They can't keep searching with us in case we run into the mage."
"Yes, we shouldn't put them back into harm's way," my fellow noble agreed. "Do you have any ideas for a location?"
"Krista," I called out to the squirrel demihuman. "Where can we take everyone until we clear the city? It should be somewhere we've already gone through and can be easily protected."
"The flower shop,"
Krista replied without hesitation.
"It only has one entrance, and the back is huge enough to hold all the flowers. There's plenty of room for us to wait and heal."
Works for me, I nodded, and turned toward my lion demi-human. Aaliyah, go with them to protect the store. We'll be sending you anyone else we find, and then we'll come back once we've cleared the rest of Amunving.
Of course,
she purred and rounded up the survivors. Then Krista and Aaliyah led the small group back the way we'd come from, and the rest of us continued to search for survivors and the mage. I wanted to sprint around with my swiftness ability and find the bastard, but there was no way I was leaving Aliona behind. There were piles of mangled bodies that could be reanimated at any time, and they all had one goal in mind. So I just had to settle for slow and steady to find the one who'd sent the first group of corrupted corpses after her. We'd just cleared another set of houses and sent a handful of survivors back to the flower shop when a flash of color caught my eye, and I whipped to the right as a black-and-white tail disappeared behind one of the houses. What was that? I narrowed my eyes and stalked between the houses with my companions right behind me. Then a white face peered out from behind the next house, and a pair of blue eyes widened in surprise before the mage took off running. Oh, not today, motherfucker! I snarled before I kicked up dirt as I sprinted after the cloaked figure.